We had huge news in the world of the U.S. economy in terms of job creation. 254,000 jobs, about 100,000 more than expected. It certainly will have an impact potentially on rate policy, because maybe those rate cuts won't come as quickly and as we thought. But the stock market kind of taken off on it. David Lightman from McClatchy DC joining us here on Brian and Company. Good morning, David. How are you?
Fine. How are you? Yeah, I was just mulling over what the this to what 254,000 jobs created.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess it's good for the economy. Maybe it's good for the administration, I guess, politically. But, you know, people want these rate cuts, and they may not get as many as they thought now.
No. This, as you know, the rate cut, there's not cause and effect here. I mean, the rate cuts were, 2 weeks ago, and now we have this. Yeah, but it does tell us the economy's healthy. I mean, it tells us that there's no recession coming. So
yeah, there's
good
no
news for the moment. Yeah.
Yeah, well, but the thing is, like, the recession seemed to be kind of on the table again, and
I know
it really felt like a slowdown, but this certainly flies in that face.
Yeah, I wonder if people are just more optimistic because of the rate cut. If somehow that had a psychological effect, or I don't get it, or just the fact that price increases have slowed as much as they have.
Yeah, and we'll see what the revisions are, you know, next month and so on. But, you know, I want to tick through another before we get into the presidential politics in Israel. You know, this people are claiming a lot of politics when it comes to FEMA, right? And so I'm getting two things. I'm getting one is, why is North Carolina getting more attention than Florida? And the other one is, how come you get $750 for someone in North Carolina when the an undocumented gets thousands? You know, I mean, Is this political? I mean, should I be listening to that kind of noise?
Well, on the one hand, everything is political. I mean, if it involves the president and Congress and all that, and the U.S. government, of course, political, especially a month before an election. On the other hand, we in the media, we tend to not tune it out, but you have to realize this is normal during disasters. I mean, think of the times that Congress wouldn't approve emergency aid for political reasons. They go, well, you have to pay for the aid. You're not hearing that now because Congress isn't in, but if they were, I guarantee you, you'd be hearing that. The other point is, and I'm no expert on this, but I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, the devastation was much worse, almost unprecedented in modern times, in North Carolina than in Florida. And it's not to minimize the impact on Florida, but my goodness, Western North Carolina was just wiped out. So, yeah. No. Hey, we remember Superstorm Sandy was, 2 weeks before the election in 2012?
I
remember Obama being criticized for playing politics there, but you do what you have to do.
David Lightman, McClatchy, D.C. Talk about politics. In some ways, people aren't – there's parts of this dock strike that people aren't seeing correctly, but – I think the good thing for both sides, whether you're Republican or Democrat, maybe it would have been a better point. Republicans probably wanted the strike to go on because then you could hammer the White House for not settling it. But in some ways, it's good that it's not a political football, right? So, like, this decision is not done. Because my interpretation is they just settled on money, and they're like, okay, we have to argue over automation now, but let's do that after the election. Is that correct?
That's my sense, yeah. Keep it out of politics as much as you can. Plus, I think to some degree they don't want to be blamed if the economy suddenly stalls again. I mean, that's the last thing they want. And you could, not that a dock strike is going to ruin the economy, but the psychological impact. I mean, you're already having this crazy social media notion that toilet paper shortages were at hand. Right, so you can imagine what other psychological effects this thing could
have.
Still,
the toilet paper thing has to do because the major production is in North Carolina, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's in this country. Right.
So people were going to Costco and grabbing bales of toilet paper.
Right.
Just like the pandemic when we thought that we needed to have 4 million rolls of it. I mean, it is. And I mean, listen, we're not making light of anything. We know tangentially some people who were out of touch for over like a week and are fine, but like, people couldn't reach them, so it's a massive problem, and we have so many big issues to talk about, David. The dock strike is we'll see what happens come January, but that's at least no longer. Although I'm told it takes a week to clear out inventory for every day a dock is closed, so it's going to take a couple weeks to work things out. Now Israel, I mean, how nervous is the White House? How nervous should they be about what Israel may or may not do? I mean, it seems like with Lebanon and everything, Israel's using this whole situation now as a mandate to try to put Iran back a decade.
Okay, I'm hardly a Mid-Eastern expert, but as far as long as I've been around covering Washington, which goes back to the 1970s, Washington always felt it had some degree of control over what Israel did. Always. I mean, think back even to this 1973 Yom Kippur War, which could have spread, and Henry Kissinger, I guess he was either National Security Council advisor, whatever he was then, came in, negotiated, and I mean, you just go right down the list, you know, the Clinton, the Carter Peace Accords, Clinton, anyway. The Biden administration seems to feel this thing is spinning out of their control, that they can't exert pressure on Israel, and that's what scares them. Because Netanyahu so far has rejected their overtures for a ceasefire. They didn't tell, apparently, Israel didn't tell the United States about its latest moves against Lebanon. So that's scaring the daylights out of the White House.
Well, it feels let's be honest. I mean, again, I come at it from an unaffiliated standpoint, but Netanyahu clearly prefers Trump over Biden. And he's focused on what he needs to do to protect his country, but it's not the first time he has not shown Biden respect.
That's right. Yeah, no, he's very much a Trump fan for a lot of reasons. He's favored Republicans over the years, it seems. In fact, didn't he and Mitt Romney, I believe, I'm pretty sure I'm right about this, worked together at Bain Capital back in the 70s, of
really?
All things. Yeah, I looked that up, and I'm pretty sure they were either co-workers or classmates or something, yeah. Again, given how fluid the situation is, I'm not sure Netanyahu's sitting there worrying about who's going to win the American election, but, yeah, he does seem to tilt towards Trump.
David Lightman, McClatchy, D.C. Go to McClatchyDC.com to check out all their content from all their papers across the country. Yeah, I have found it interesting personally. You know, I thought Trump's debate was pretty bad, and he's had a lot of, I mean, some of the stuff he's saying at his rallies I find to be really difficult to, I mean, and again, I come out of, I'm not a supporter of Harris. I'm just saying, like, some of the stuff he said has been difficult. But yet he's going up in the polls. I mean, he's increased his lead, I think, in Georgia and in Arizona. What's behind it, do you think? Is this momentum that Harris had finally starting to wane?
Well, people say it's about Harris and Trump, and it is. But it's also about what kind of country you want. And Harris, it doesn't matter to some degree who's on that ticket. It matters, again, when Trump keeps hammering away that somehow immigrants are flooding this country illegal immigrants are flooding the country and the economy is horrible. Well, if you believe that, it doesn't matter if it's Donald Trump running or you or me, right? They're going to vote for that person and vice versa. The difference this time is that there's personality involved of Trump. You love him or you hate him. So as he goes up and down the polls, yeah, it's not completely about him, mostly about him, but it's also about, again, if you're struggling or if you see a country out of control or if you're scared that your kid's never going to come home from school because somebody's going to shoot it up, well, you may vote for Trump or Harris for that matter.
Interesting. Really interesting. We might learn something over the weekend. I don't know when, we have Trump going to Butler, Pennsylvania tomorrow, which is going to be, obviously it's going to be an intense day for supporters and for him. And, he just seems to have a little bit of momentum right now, although it's probably going to change two or three more times. I just wish that they were going to debate. We got to run, David. Have a great weekend. I'm sorry about your Orioles. I think they just ran out of gas. And
oh, my gosh. Yeah, at least we made the playoffs.
Yep, that's true.
Better than losing 100 games. We'll talk next week. Have a great week.